I work at this university. I am in charge of the practical work of the students in journalism. I am a volunteer for Radio Campus. I've been a volunteer for Radio Campus for many years, and the movement of free radios in Belgium started a long time ago. Indeed, in 1968 in Brussels, we had our first free broadcasting program. It was May 68 for radios in Belgium. Then the radio started in the French-speaking part of the country with combat radios. Radio Noir in Couvin, for example, there a dam was to be built in Couvin. And the associations of inhabitants that had done all they could decided to use the radio as a tool. So the radio was used as a very pragmatic tool. So these activists did set an appointment on the radio, decided to meet at some specific place to demonstrate, to fight against the building of such a dam. So that's what we called activist radios. Then, in October 1978, the first entertainment radio was created on the university site of Louvain-la-Neuve. That was called an entertainment radio. Louvain-la-Neuve was recently built in Belgium, and the building of such a city stems from a conflict between the French-speaking students and the Flemish-speaking students, because the French-speaking students did go to the university at Louvain, and because of the language conflict, it was decided that a new city would be built to host, to receive the French-speaking students. And so the students there decided to launch a radio, an entertainment radio. And that was actually the cornerstone of free radios. I talked to you about Radio Noir in Couvin, activist radios, and then a radio Louvain-la-Neuve, and then another activist radio in Anden. There was an opinion poll to know whether the population would agree to have a uranium enrichment factory to be built. So that was in 1978 with all the anti-nuclear movement. And sometime later in Louvain-la-Neuve, several radios were created. And in October 1978 in Louvain-la-Neuve, the programs were recorded on a tape. So everything was done illegally, and at the third recorded program of Louvain-la-Neuve, we could hear the tape stopped, a microphone was open, somebody saying, well, when we arrived here, we saw vans of the postal services, so please be ready to act. And then the tape was on again, and once again, after 2 minutes, interruption of the tape, and somebody at the mic saying, okay, well, now we need to intervene. And in about the span of 3 minutes, about 3,000 people gathered. And then that was the very beginning of the work of radios. All of a sudden, the public authorities did realize that there is real will to break the monopoly of the public service in the hands of the RTB at that time. And then new radios emerge a bit everywhere.
Hello.
And that's how the movement started. 1978, entertainment stations appeared. They were much appreciated. And the reason why transmitters could be bought back then was that technology was much cheaper. Free radios in Italy had bought quite a lot of equipment, and some of that was imported back into Belgium, and new radio stations could be set up back in 1982. a local radios council was set up in 1986, the first frequency plan. I'm summarizing to the extreme here. Specialists would probably have much more to say about historical facts. The first frequency plan was adopted in 1986. The CSA, the Conseil Supérieur de l'Audiovisuel, was set up in 87. The fund to support radio program production was set up in 1991. In 1994, it was decided that the income of advertising could be used to fund community radios, and starting in 1997, the fund was set up for the purpose of supporting community radios. In 1997-98, CSA became an advisory body with a controlled and oversight role, and in 1998, that's almost 20 years after the advent of free radios, the first frequency plan was adopted, enabling a number of radios that had been disappearing over time, because you need to know that a number of association radios appeared toward the end of the 70s and the beginning of the 80s. And well, when a small village or a small town radio has been going on for a number of years, there is erosion of interest and enthusiasm, and so over the years quite a number of those community radios would either disappear from the air or would change status. So small community radios would disappear, and their frequencies would be taken over by other more commercially oriented radios. And so over a period of 20 years, what was in evidence was a strengthening of commercial networks of community radios, and the smaller community radios that wanted to continue to broadcast without advertising, that wanted to focus on local development, on education, etc. These radios simply disappeared one after the other, and a frequency plan that was adopted in 1997 meant that the radios that were basically drowning finally could keep their heads above the water level and without a snorkel, and so it became possible for them to survive in the long term. We're now at roughly 20 community radios recognized as such and subsidized as such in a French-speaking community of Belgium plus Brussels. It's complicated. So 20 community radios for 4 million inhabitants. In Flanders, only two are community radios. Radio Scorpio in Leuven and Radio Centrale in Antwerp. Historical radio from the libertarian NGO movement. So 20-some community radios in French-speaking part of Belgium, two in the Flemish part, and those 20 are keeping up the good work. And they are trying to pool their efforts now. I think in 2010, CRACS was set up as the coordination of association, community and expressive radios, because it was felt that there was a need to pool our efforts. And also, out of the 20 or 21 licensed community radios, 12 are members of CRACS, of this coordination, and we're trying to coordinate our efforts on a voluntary basis, on a goodwill basis, and without any funding for that purpose. And we'd like to work on ways of better meeting the expectations of community radios in French-speaking part of Belgium, including with training for anchors and how to package programs so they will look good on the radio, etc. So these are very much community radios, local radios, social radios also in terms of social cohesion, because they're based and rooted in places where people know each other. In the French-speaking part of Belgium, there are quite a few examples of the fact that people know each other in local communities and local radios. I could go on like this for hours, talking about radios and sectors I'm interested in. Our association radios receive 20,000 euros per year in funding from the French community, French-speaking community of Belgium. These 20,000 euros come with a string attached in that we have to perform a number of tasks and roles. We have to provide certain services. We are subjected to a regulatory authority. You have to fill in extensive forms and answer quite a lot of questions before you can qualify for those 20,000 euros. But it does, CSA does provide useful oversight and follow-up. It regularly organizes meetings, and once or twice a year, the CSA takes the initiative of organizing meetings, which provides operators with opportunities to meet, and it also allows cracks to meet on the margins, generating economies of scale. I was a bit flabbergasted hearing the figures for Switzerland, 260,000 Swiss francs per radio in Switzerland. Of course, they have to perform quite a lot of services, but still they get about 13 times as much as a radio in a French-speaking community of Belgium. There was a decision at some point that commercial radios or radios that had advertising, that broadcast advertising, would have to pay a levy, some of which would serve to support financially those that didn't. And that may have contributed to the emergence of local community and association radios. In my opinion, you need three categories of stakeholders or of players in the radio landscape. You need public operators, private operators, and a strong third category of operator. That's an alternative to the first two, and that can also avoid a bipolarization and political, economic, and religious discourses even being polarized in the same fashion. And this alternative is provided by community radios that can indeed represent and defend plurality. I said a few words a moment ago about RTBF. RTBF has five radio stations plus local and regional programs in the morning, plus three television channels. And unless I'm mistaken, but I was told so by Jean-Jacques Gespers, RTBF's funding, public funding for those five radios plus local radios plus three television channels amounts is the same roughly as France Inter in France. 4 million inhabitants, 60 million inhabitants, Belgium, French-speaking part of Belgium and France. So these are fairly mind-boggling figures. ACRAX is also about creating links to promote ideas. We are a think tank. We have a lot of things that we would like to do, but we're a small association. It came into being at the time of the approval of the frequency plan in 2008. Before that, there was one key stakeholder in the radio landscape in the French-speaking part of Belgium, a European actor, in fact, a European-sized player. We talked earlier about YouTube and other IP-based broadcasters. There used to be one very large industrial player, Bertelsmann. Bertelsmann controlled more than 60% of the bandwidth in the frequency spectrum back in 2008, and that proportion is now down to 40%. And that's interesting in terms of what regulatory authorities can do and achieve. Concluding now, association radios may provide solutions in crisis situations. We'll be discussing that tomorrow with radio stations in Asia. Maybe it's a model that could be applied here. Mobile broadcasting and web broadcasting are increasingly a reality. And we're very much keen to continue the broadcast model, that is, the model whereby one transmitter broadcasts to thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of receivers, of listeners. The problem with the IP protocol that is increasingly pervasive these days is that it's individual, it is traceable. The broadcast model is free, the IP model is subscriber-based, and so that makes a big difference. And let me conclude with a quote by a jazzman, Marc Moulin, a famous Belgian radio broadcaster, who used to say there are two ways of broadcasting on the radio. Either you broadcast for listeners, or you sell listeners to advertisers. And that's a very different proposition. Thank you very much.